What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we have on a fantastic guest. It's comedian Mike Vecchione.
Oh, hey. My gosh. He is so funny.
He's truly hilarious.
He's hilarious.
One of the best comics. He's been on The Tonight Show multiple times. If you want, like, guaranteed laugh, go look him up on YouTube. The sets are so good.
Guaranteed laughter. I mean, yes. Seriously, I mean, like... Being in stand-up for so long, yeah. I think comedians can get desensitized to, like, just jokes in general and stand-up comedy. And I was laughing my ass off this morning. I was listening to all of his all of his sets, all of his late-night sets, everything. It was fucking great. The writing is great. The delivery. I was like, holy shit, this guy is amazing.
Yeah, he's the best, and he's one of the sweetest people on the planet, too. So I hope you guys enjoy our interview with him. We talk about so many different self-help things. I'm going to plug a couple tour dates, and then we'll get into our interview with Mike.
Sound good?
So this weekend, I'm headlining Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. I'm excited to come see you guys there in Appleton. And then March 19th through the 22nd, I'm going to be at Go Banana in Cincinnati, and then April, 9th through the 12th, I will be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then May 7th through 9th, Spokane Comedy Club. So go to kelseycook.com for tour dates. There's some other spots floating around there in between, but those are the main ones, so go get those. Yeah.
And then today is March 2nd, so that means tomorrow Taylor Tomlinson's Netflix special comes out, you guys. Oh my god. Definitely
calendars.
Go watch it. She's bummed that she couldn't make this hot sesh today, but definitely go watch it. I cannot wait to see it. And then I'll plug something. My Thriving Artist course is now available at DelaneyFisher.com. That's an easy way to find it.
Yeah.
So basically, if you want to start a product-based business of any kind, I will show you step-by-step how to do it with some unconventional strategies that I have used myself because, well, I sell dick stuff. So, you know, not everything can be all mainstream and shit, you know? So if that sounds fun, getting business advice from somebody who has kind of had to pivot a little bit, if you will, and who does not have a business background of any kind, I'm not tech savvy, I really break it down into simple steps. So DelaneyFisher.com, Thriving Artist Course. Love you guys so much.
Love you guys so much. Here is our interview with Mike, and then we've got some segments for you afterward. So here's that.
Yeah.
All right, we're here with Mike Vecchione.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for doing the show. I have to say, I watched a bunch of your stuff this morning, mm-hmm. and I was cracking up. Oh, and like, good. I don't laugh a lot at stand-up just by being part of stand-up for mm-hmm. so long. I think we just get desensitized to a lot
right,
of stuff.
Right.
And I was laughing out loud at your shit. I mean, really, like, I'm a big fan now. Like,
oh, good. No, wow, that's wow. a relief.
Yeah, so, yeah. Just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you very much.
That's what we do. We bring people on. We make them feel good.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. And then you tear them apart. Yeah,
exactly.
No, I like that. You do like the makeover show. Yeah. It's like, your comedy is great, but why are you so fat? Eating habits. And then I cry. You break me down. I cry. And then you give me a hug. You're like, you're going to make it, kid. That's one step at a time. And you build me back up, and it's like a bar rescue, except for a person.
Yeah, exactly.
Just verbal ayahuasca. Absolutely. We just do it, you know, for free on a podcast.
Pretty sweet.
You're fresh off the plane. You live in New York.
Yes.
And
you guys have I was telling you right before we went on air that your podcast has a very good reputation back east.
That means so much.
Yeah, the word is spread. So.
Oh, that's really nice.
That means a ton. Yeah, we love anytime we're on the road and have helpsters come out to shows. It's like, it's the coolest.
Right.
Because this is all in a vacuum. It's just us in a little studio. Right. So to go actually meet the people that listen is always the best feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. So you
have you been noticing the difference on the road?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. At least for me, between this show and then the Risa Fury Foosball web series, it's like, it's such a cool blend of people coming up, either wearing like a Risa Fury shirt or in a self-help shirt. It's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So you texted us a list of things that are kind of in your self-help wheelhouse.
Yeah, like I'm constantly, I didn't realize this until I actually texted you that, but like I'm into a lot of things to try to like better myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like
that's
every
really
like,
awesome.
And the thing is like working, I don't know how you guys do it, but working them into a routine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then seeing what worked for you and then weeding out the stuff that doesn't work for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What hasn't worked for you?
The things that work for me the most are, I can kind of tell when I listen to them or I read them. It's like, oh, that's a good thing. Or or if it's not, I'll go, no, that's not for
me. Doesn't stick.
Like a diet thing where vegan, people doing vegan stuff. I'm on that low carb. I'm on like a South Beachy type of thing.
Okay.
And I think it really goes by.
You as this like New York guy. This feels very East Coast to me. This sort of South Beach, the Jersey Shore.
Well, I did stop on the way to get hair gel before I came here, so I made sure I was at my best. I didn't know there would be cameras.
It's very on
brand. I risked it. But no, I think that. Like my brother and sister started doing the same thing too. I think maybe our blood, we have fat blood. I don't know if that's what it is. But no, like it's something along with like sugars or something. I feel like if I cut the sugars and the grains, like it cuts my appetite. And then that's 90% of it.
Okay.
So if I just ate no meat, I mean, I'm all for that. But like my appetite, I'd still have that craving. You know what I mean?
Okay,
so
yeah.
When I cut the grains, it cuts my craving.
Yeah,
so
we talk a lot about intuitive eating on here and how it's not like it's not one size fits all for everybody. There are certain things, and you know, everybody has like dietary restrictions and all that shit.
Yeah.
So that's what works for
and
you.
And then the energy increase is big for me also.
Yeah.
Like I had a huge energy increase, but then it's like if you fall into it, like I work out. So when you work out, it's like, okay, I have to infuse a little bit of carbs into this or else I'm going to hit a stalemate. So it's like it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
Like I am intent on having a high energy level.
Yeah.
I want to have a high energy level.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you do to maintain that besides food? Is there like certain workouts or
meditation? The food is the, I realized once I did the food thing, I'm like, oh my God. Like, cause I don't know if you guys have ever been this way where it's like, you're tired and you don't know why. It's like, I can't imagine like I don't have a family and kids depending on me. How do people do this?
I don't know.
I don't know how they do it. Like I'm exhausted all the time and I can't figure out why. And then I cut it and my energy spiked and I'm like, oh my God, this is like a new window opening up for me. It's like, I'm in shock. So then that opens up a whole bunch of other stuff. Like you're not procrastinating as much.
Right. Yeah.
Like you're just going like, okay, let me just go through and get stuff done.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind. So that then set the tone for like, I went through a couple of bad breakups and like, after every bad breakup, it's like, okay, dude, I gotta stop obsessively thinking about it and figure out a way to get past it. Yeah. So like I got meditation from that. Like nice. Just like I'm not an expert guy, but just like I do an app, I do 15 minutes a morning.
Oh, that's great.
15 minutes.
That's really
and
good.
That sets the tone for the day. It helps.
Yeah.
And I started doing yoga after one of the breakups. And that's like really like hot yoga because I went in the studio for the first time and they were like, okay, your goal is just to stay in the room today. And I wasn't a great athlete, but I did wrestle at a Division I school for a while.
Nice.
And for a little while.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very tough room. And I was like, stay in the room. Sweetie, don't worry about it. I'm going to be fine. Stay in the room. Stay in the room for real. I almost left the room. I was like, oh my God. Like, I can't believe how mentally weak I am. Like, I almost left the room. And I still almost leave the room every time because it's like so hard.
Yeah.
But it opens your body up and it makes you feel like it also like, it almost like when you come out, you feel high.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
So I guess that's the opposite. And people take drugs to feel high, or you could just deprive yourself of oxygen and water, and then you could feel high that way.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. So,
but like the next day, I feel energized. Like I'm like, oh my God. Like I feel like even when I'm meditating the next day, like I can breathe so much easier. Like my chest has opened up.
Yeah. You
know, which is something I never got from like competing in sports or any kind of weightlifting.
Yeah. I love the fact that you are talking about meditation and yoga, and you look the way you do. You look like a cool, like, man's man, you know? And I don't think that's, like, talked about enough is, like, men kind of getting on board for self-care and self-improvement because it's, like, this weird thing where it's like, oh, yeah, that's for ladies or that's
machismo.
Whatever, right?
That's out the window. That's out the window for me or anybody with a brain because it's like, look, I can't believe in pain. I can't live a painful life.
Yeah,
no.
I went through a breakup one time. My brother's like, you know, you should go talk to somebody. Talk to therapists. Like, I was like, no, I could do. I was just like, suffered needlessly.
Yeah.
It's like, go talk to somebody, get your issues out. It just, you know, you guys know as comics, like, just talking out jokes, even if you don't come to a punchline, it's like, the process of talking the joke out helps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, like, later that night, you could be like, oh, that's it. There's an angle
there
you know what I mean? Or in the shower or something. So, usually in the shower, like, if you're driving.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. What's the app you use for meditating?
I have Calm, but what I've been doing is I've usually just been going on YouTube and doing like – I did the Sam Harris meditation for a while.
Me too.
Yeah, but because I like the present moment because it's – the whole goal of it is people – because people say they can't do it and they go, my mind wanders. And I'm like, that's – but the whole – everybody's mind wanders. The whole goal of it is to realize that your mind is wandering and bring yourself back to like the present moment.
Yeah. Your mind never stops wandering completely.
Right.
Like, that's what a mind does. You can't prevent it from doing that.
Right.
But you can catch it and bring it back. And the more you do that, usually I feel like the time between each wandering can lessen a little bit.
That's true. And it's also like a compassionate self-talk. Like, the way you're like, you know, it's like a puppy. Like, the people make the comparison. It's like a puppy who you just are redirecting. You're not angrily redirecting yourself. You failed again, dude. What, are you thinking about your laundry? Failure. You suck.
Fuck you. Why even try?
Yeah,
you
have a
tendency to do that sometimes.
I have been that person while meditating so many times.
Yeah.
Where, and I think also meditation has taught me that it is not just this gradual, like, constant incline of you're getting better and better.
Right.
It's so many, like, one step forward, two steps back, where you might have one day and you finish a meditation, you're like, dude, I just fucking killed that shit. Like, I'm gonna start teaching the courses, apparently. I guess I'm this good. And then the next day, I cannot go for more than 2 seconds without my brain thinking about, like, what I'm gonna eat in 5 minutes, and then, like, the email I have to send, and then I'll get so upset with myself, like, I thought you were better than this. I thought you were way better. And then it's a good exercise and just like, okay, it's not always going to be only positive.
Yeah,
like,
that's why it's called a practice.
Right,
They really say it's a practice, but that's really what it is.
Yeah. I fucking hate practicing, though. I'm such a perfectionist. Like, I don't like any rough drafts. I just like to have it be good, but that's...
Dude, I will be by myself in my bedroom trying to meditate and be like, you look so fucking stupid right now. I'm like, wait, nobody's here. Why does it matter if I look stupid? I'm by myself in my apartment. But, like, you know, that shit where it's like, oh, you're so in your head about everything. Like, if somebody walked in and I had died in this position, would that be would that upset me? You know what I mean? Like, God, just shut the fuck up.
We're the worst.
Like, when you're a perfectionist, though, isn't that a thing where it's like your self-talk is real harsh?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like no, get it right.
Yeah, it's like a mean coach. you know, whatever that mean coach was at whatever sport you played growing up, it's that voice.
Right.
And there's like, you know, we talk about the book, The Artist's Way, a lot on this podcast. They have an exercise called the Monsters Hall of Fame, where you write out whatever, like if you start to hear that voice in your head, it's good to pause and be like, who is that?
Right.
Like, where did that come from? And usually it's a teacher. It's like a grade school teacher or some high school coach who just had the worst. Parent, most commonly, I think.
Right.
Just such negative talking down to you. And then you can take that and flip it.
Do you ever have that thing where it's like the voice is harsh and then you go to catch yourself? You're like, okay, where is this voice coming from? And then another voice comes to defend the first voice, going, hey, do you want to be successful or not, dude? Okay, because you're not going to get it with the softer voice.
Let the abuse happen. Come on, man. Yeah. Well, my therapist, knowing that I'm a perfectionist and that I do, you know, beat myself up all the time, one method that she tried with me, I've spoken about it before on here, but she said, okay, well, next time you're starting to beat yourself up about something, I just want you to, like, really let yourself have it. Don't try and stop it. Just go as hard as you can and see what happens.
Yeah. Wow.
And what was so interesting is as I started to just really lean into how mean I could get to myself, that other, like the angel on my shoulder kind of stepped in and was like, okay, but no, like that's not true. You're not the worst person of all time.
Right.
You're not the shittiest comic.
Right.
You know, all these things that then if you exaggerate it, something in you actually does kind of come to your defense.
Yes.
So I was shocked by that. I wasn't expecting that result.
Wow.
So now I do that sometimes.
That
if
is
I'm
a good
upset
technique.
About something, I really just go in
go
until
deep.
I come to my own defense.
I have named my inner voice. I have named the shitty voice in my head. I call her Mavis, and she is a royal bitch. And I picture her just like an old, grungy little lady who just like a really like very strong like English accent or something like, I didn't think I would do that if I were you, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, fuck off, Mavis.
Yeah.
I got shit to do. But like, I find that it kind of makes it, helps like make it comical, like, and less, you know, less shitty, less mean, less
That's
real.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're basically a cartoon character that lives in my head.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, you know?
Deported.
Yeah.
Brexit.
Brexit.
Out of my subconscious, Mavis. Have a safe trip.
Mavis.
Oh, my God. So you talked about going through, like, how recent were the breakups you went through?
I'm 47.
Okay.
So I moved to New York at 31.
Okay.
But I had some breakups. I had a big one when I was in my 20s.
Okay.
And then, because I was engaged. And then,
okay.
And then I had a couple of, I couldn't really get my bearings after we broke up. In Philly for 4 years. I stayed there, finished up my master's in special education, taught for a while.
Wow. That's amazing.
And then I moved to New York and then, you know, started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Still needed a part-time job for a long time. But just a series of relationships that didn't work, and I was the problem in a lot of them, just not being not really getting over the first one and then carrying the baggage with me and then getting lost in this career. I mean, you can get lost in it if you don't have your bearings. Like, I'm a 100%. Little more grounded now and settled.
Yeah.
But if you're just, like, trying to find your footing for years, you're like, is this ever going to amount to anything? Am I going to make any kind of money? Like, am I just living with roommates forever? Like, how's this going to play out?
There's no guarantee.
There's no guarantees. And, you know, so that all plays into it, you know. So, but I went through some ones where I broke up with them and they, some where they broke up with me.
Yeah.
And I find it, I don't know if you guys find this, but when you break up with somebody, it's like you're armed, it hurts because you're inflicting pain on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always armed with the reasons. So if you ever get weak, like, oh, I wish that person was back in my life, you have the reasons to go, okay, here's why. So it's like, it's kind of like comforting in the sense that whereas you had to inflict the pain, which sucks because you love the person, but you have all the reasons if you ever backtrack.
Yeah.
If you get dumped, you're just dealing with blunt force pain where it's like, I don't know what this was. I thought that everything was good. Like, because you both have different concepts of how the relationship is playing out in your mind, and you do the best you can to communicate it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't always, you know, you're not on the same page a lot of times. So the person who gets dumped is just has to figure out how to pick up the pieces. And there's no explanation. They give you like a public explanation, like a press conference-y explanation where it's like, look, we're not on the same page. Yeah. We don't solve problems well together. But they give you that nice one. But it's probably something much meaner. Like, you were just too fat. You're not tall enough. You're not tall enough. You're never going to be tall enough. Okay, that's what it is. And it's like
I thought I could overlook it, and I just cannot.
I just can't do it.
Literally, no, literally.
I can overlook you too easily. Actually, in fact, right. I can't literally, do this anymore. Yeah.
Other men tower over you, and it makes you seem like a bitch. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to have to. Like, they're not going to go that deep because they're already hurting you. It might not be something you can control. But it could be very much that. It's like, I thought I could deal with it. But you know what? I just can't.
I can't.
I just can't do it. So yeah. I'm going to move forward. It's like,
yeah.
So painful. Like, I'd rather have the press conference one where they're like problem solving and we just are not on the same page and different directions. Like,
for sure.
You know, that kind of thing. But after the, getting like broken up, like, you're dealing with that. You're just dealing with the pain.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So it's like, okay, I got to, you know. I got to pick up the pieces here. How can I improve myself? Like, how can I, let me try to take this time where I'm alone. No one wants to sit in it and be alone.
Right.
You know, and that's my theory about like super hot people. How they're kind of vapid because they've never had to sit in it. There's always somebody on the other end of a phone. There's always somebody who's like, I'm good with you. Meet me tomorrow. I can do it. You know, so that's why they're kind of like, hey, no. It's like they've never had that time just to sit there with their crushing pain.
That is incredibly true, for sure.
You know what I mean?
That is
so they don't have any depth
funny.
To them, but that's the reason why.
Yeah, well, I mean, like every celebrity ever, it's just like they just hop from
next person,
it's constant
next
musical chairs. Yeah. It's just who wants to fuck next?
Yeah,
I've had seven people lined up. You know, like look at Jen Aniston. It's just like constant. Like
so
she can
beautiful.
Have whoever she wants.
Right.
Why would she want to sit
beautiful.
In pain?
I'll take her.
Just I'll fucking take her. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but why would I want to sit in that and be alone if I don't have to? You know, if I don't have to. Do
so. Yeah. So you mentioned that at one point you were not open to therapy. Did that change?
Yes,
and
it
when did.
Did
it? So like you got into therapy and how's that?
It's great too. It's great too. Once I see that something works, like I'm not like one of these, oh no, I'm not doing it. It's like, hey, is it practical and does it work? And it helps if somebody else is doing it.
Yeah.
And if they do it and then their friends and they're like explaining to me, no, it helps get all this stuff out from childhood that goes way, way deeper than you would ever imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, going and talking it out really helps. And it helps to prepare for the sessions too, not just going in and winging. And it's like a set. You know what I mean? Like
I couldn't
you
agree
prepare
more.
For the like I used to journal before the sessions,
same,
so that I could go in and be like, okay, you know, let's problem solve this. Let's go here. What do you think? You're an objective outsider. Like, what do you think? And some of the things that come back, you're like, oh my god, I never even looked at it. Like your parents were cruel to you. Your parents did this. You know, and it's like, hey, the thing that most people come to their parents to like, my parents love me. It's like not saying they didn't love you.
Yeah,
just
right.
saying that. There, you're broken in this way, in this way, in this way. Everything has a cause and an effect.
Yeah.
And if you want to know the reasons behind, just like somebody just without emotion, just kind of listening to what you're telling them and like looking at the situation, breaking it back down to you. And you're like, oh my God, I was too tied up in it emotionally to even see that.
Yeah.
First of all, to even see your parents as people.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, what a huge first step that takes people.
Such a weird thing.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I love you. I mean, I feel like everybody should look at therapy as, like you said, almost a comedy set or whatever, but you're doing yourself a disservice to not take it seriously and really take each minute you're in there seriously. Right. I used to, for maybe the first like year or so of seeing the therapist I see in LA, I was still getting comfortable with her, and I feel like it would take me at least a few minutes to just start talking about what I needed to talk about. I would get in and kind of be like, so how are you? And it was just this weird back and forth where I had trouble just using her as like my therapist. Right. I felt like I needed to be polite and have this, you know, I don't go in and be rude now, but I just mean like I felt uncomfortable going in for what you're there for.
Yeah.
They're not there to make polite. Right. This isn't getting coffee with them.
Right.
This is you're paying them for a service. And so now I go in and I'm like, hey, like, how are you? Good. Cool. And I just get right into
That's good.
And I don't feel weird about it anymore.
That's really good. But I really think about that too sometimes, because a friend of mine told me that they go in and sometimes they try to charm the therapist. And I go, that's complete, because I look at it like the way you look at it, like, hey, you're providing a service. Like, what are we doing? Like, both of us are busy. Like, like, go in and like, but there is a vulnerability to it where it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to open up some stuff where I. But that's, you kind of got it. That's where courage comes. Like, you kind of have to be courageous. Be like, look, I got to solve the problem. Like, I have to, I need help.
Yeah,
I need help. So it's like, you have to humble yourself that way.
Yeah. They are a different person than any other person in your life.
Yeah.
So you should not treat them as you would just like, you know, a friend you're sitting down to get a sandwich with.
It has that feel to it. Like, it's like a friend.
Yeah.
But it's not at all.
Yeah.
It's like a thing where it's like, look, I need help. You know, this could really help my life.
Yeah.
It really could help my life if you could give me some strategies, where my therapist will say things to me sometimes and it like, it'll teach me a way to think about things differently, and that'll resonate.
Yeah.
And then I won't have the same emotional reaction that I had previously. And it'll literally change the way I look at it and change the way I feel about it.
Yeah. You talked about that at a certain age, you realized that in some of your relationships, you had been more of the problem. What age-ish was that?
I think I've been a problem throughout. One, with the girls I've dated who were good people.
Yeah.
But it just didn't, it wouldn't have worked either way. So you look back and you're like, oh, you know, because right after the relationship, you're like, I could have done this, I could have done that. And it's like, if you get some distance from it, you're like, this would have never, it would have not worked.
Wasn't meant to be anyway.
But it's, and this is a cliche, you don't want to hear about this right after the breakup, but it's an opportunity to figure it out and to become a better person from it. You don't want to hear that right after, though. It's like, whatever, dude. Shut up. an opportunity to become. I'm going to be a great dude. And at the end of this, when I'm 80 and by myself, I'm going to be a superhuman being. Like, you start to get shitty, you know?
But it's let me grieve. Yeah.
But it's really, it really is the truth. Like, I've taken something out of every single one of them where I'm like, you know, it's like, people make the, I don't know, maybe people do make big jumps, but for me, it was everything's like incremental.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You pick up a strategy here, try this, talk to friends about it. And we're in a day and age now, one of the good things is like, you could be very open with your friends.
Yeah.
And like, are you trying this? Like, what's that doing for you? It's like, oh, it's really opening. You know, in comics, we all talk, we all hang out, we all socialize. Oh, that's really working for you? Well, I'm going to try this. Like, okay, well, let me know how that goes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's good. It's good to be in a group like that.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, have you experienced like any like big breakthroughs or like aha moments, as Oprah calls them? Oprah. Like,
is there a book under my seat?
Is there a book?
Everybody gets a car. Is that what you're telling me?
We'll give you a free Lyft ride, but that's all we can afford for this show. Like any like big holy shit, I like something clicked for you, whether it's in therapy or just at all around, you know, past like trauma or relationships.
Oh, one thing in therapy recently, I had the mindset of just like working through everything, like nose to the grindstone, work. And I've always been like that with sports. I wasn't the best athlete, but I always prided myself on working and like grinding it out.
Yeah.
And my therapist was like, why do you have to grind everything out? Why is everything got to be grinding it out? Like, can't you take the same thing and like, hey, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about doing this. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to And I'm going to attack the things that I have to get, like the things that I want to do. Even yeah. I just said it, I just caught myself saying the things that I have to get through. It's like, you don't have to get through them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
do them with enthusiasm, yeah. like you want to do them. Yeah. And it'll change the nature of what you're doing. And yeah. that's really, I didn't realize that I was thinking that way until he caught me. He's like, everything is just you running uphill. It's like, is there any reward? Whoa. Is there any, it's like, It's the way you're thinking about things. It's like, wake up enthused about what you're on the road. You're going here. Great. It's cool. You're going to get to do this. You're going to get to do that. Like, these yeah. are things that are great things. And I this is no lie, on the flight here, you know, I have no Wi-Fi, but I'm looking through the pictures in my phone while listening to music.
Yeah.
And it just look, I'm like, I have a pretty cool life.
Yeah.
It's like, you're looking through your phone. You're like, oh my God, I've traveled all over the place. Yeah. Like, got to hang out with different people. Like, I have a great relationship. It's like, yeah. you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah. You're currently, you know what I mean? On a plane about to travel to go do stand-up comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Coming to LA. Like, you know, I haven't been here in a long time. So it's like, it's so cool. But, yeah. You know, if you don't think of things that way and you're like, I got to push through this. It's like, push. You're not roofing. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You're not, this isn't a construction job, dude. It's like fun. We do a fun, cool thing, you know?
Absolutely.
That's so funny. I love
pouring
that.
Pouring cement right now.
Yeah. Right.
Ease up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sometimes it just takes like a mindset shift
right.
for things to, like, nothing can change except the way you think about it. And it just opens up this whole new way.
But I don't know
being.
If you guys feel this way, but like half of it's just the awareness. Of, oh, I wasn't oh, aware yeah. that was happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Like I wasn't aware of my diet. Like my diet, it's like, was making me feel, you know, I still struggle with it, but it wasn't making me feel like lethargic and worse. Right. But I didn't realize it. So awareness right. is like half of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You
know? And there's so much more longevity in doing something because of enthusiasm as opposed to that like militant yeah. discipline. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously important to have a great work ethic and be disciplined, but if you are only doing it because you feel that you have to and right. not because you're actually enjoying it anymore, I mean, that's just a recipe for burnout yeah. so quickly.
Right. There's no but, joy. Yeah. Where's the joy?
There's when, no yeah, joy when
you
in
do
it.
That, right? Yeah. Then it's like, oh, you get done with one thing, it's on to the next thing. And you're right. not even being present enough to like really take in what's happening.
That's it. And people like, you know, people who work regular jobs, like, they would kill to have our lives.
Yeah.
They really would. I mean, if you just like, all you have to do is step out of this a little bit and talk to them yeah. and their jobs. And like, most people like are dissatisfied with what they're doing. They're doing it for a check. They're right. working a set schedule. And we're like, I mean, this has a lot of downfalls to it, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of disappointment, a lot of heartbreak. But it's not that, you know? I mean, right. we still have the freedom to create and we get to do a bunch of cool different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like our peaks and our valleys are more extreme yes. than somebody with, you know, something that they're not super passionate about.
Right.
They might not feel like a devastating disappointment in their career that
right.
way that we can, but they also might not ever feel that really high of
right.
like when something incredible happens for us in this business. But,
right. right, that's true.
Absolutely.
That's true for sure.
Absolutely.
What's something, like, what's one of your biggest takeaways? I know you're talking about kind of like going in intervals with relationships and learning and all that. What is one of the more like recent takeaways from a relationship or just you as a partner that you've been like, oh, okay, this is a pattern that's been happening. Here's what I want to do to.
Oh, I know one that's personal. It's stopped watching porn.
Okay.
I've tried to do that a few times and now I've like really done it because I've read stuff that it like it changes your brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sensation. So I stopped doing it.
Like how long ago?
I stopped doing it. Maybe 6 months.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you. I know that's got to be really hard.
Yeah.
Right? Like when it becomes part of your routine and everything like that. And we've
yeah.
talked about a little bit about
we did an episode
porn
on
addiction.
Porn.
Right.
And yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I stopped and I like it. I like not. It's like anything. It can become an addiction, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can become a slave to it. So it's better just not, I think, to do it. So I'm in a relationship now, so I'm like, okay, let me... I think it takes focus from that, too, in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure, like, how it works with your brain, and even if that's true, but I kind of have a hunch that it is.
Yeah.
So I've stopped, and I think I'm going to continue not to do it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Has sex seemed different to you since then? Like, is there a little bit less of... like a desensitization or
it's not so much anything I super notice I think that if you operate by the premise like what you focus on if you're focusing on that every day or multiple times a day, yeah. it's got to have some kind of an effect on right. you.
For sure.
So
yeah.
like, you know, affect your life in some way. So if I'm focusing more on the person that I'm with or thoughts of that person, you know,
yeah.
I don't want this to sound corny, but just from a mental standpoint,
yeah.
you know, I think it's better.
Definitely.
It might be better. You know what I mean?
Well, it's, I mean, the things you're consuming, it's not food, but you're
right,
still
right,
consuming
right.
it. You're yes. ingesting it into yes. a different, it's not going in your stomach, it's going in your head.
Right.
But that's
going to
affect
And it's like
how
every
feel.
Day. I mean, most yeah. guys are doing that every day.
Right.
And maybe multiple times a day. Like
right.
If you're not in a relationship or you, you know, you don't have a partner. So it's like, could be every day, multiple times a day. And
yeah.
You're right. You're exactly, that's what it is. You're taking it in some way.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
You're focused on it. So that, I'm not sure how it does, but it's got to affect your life in some way.
Yeah, for sure.
I think so.
I think it's,
it.
I think a lot of, like, for me, I had to stop, like, watching the news and, like, getting updates about certain current events because it would just make me feel kind of, like, low-grade depression every day, you know? It was just, like, just enough, even a minute or two, would be like, okay, now I'm in a little bit of a more shitty mood now,
yeah.
you know? And
yeah.
that just was, like, daily thing. And so I have to feel like, I feel like I have to really be careful about what I'm ingesting because my mood can be affected
right.
a lot by
right.
external factors really quickly.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, constantly surrounding myself with, like, positive stuff, whether it's TV shows or podcasts or whatever. But I'd imagine that's, like, the same kind of effect. Like you don't really maybe are aware of how it's affecting you until it's maybe been gone a while or
Huge.
Something, right?
Huge. So the social, I don't know how much time do you guys spend on social media?
Oh Christ.
I mean, because that's the next thing. That's
oh,
almost
yeah.
like that's almost like porn sense of
oh,
like
yeah.
but it can really bring you down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Bad. We've spent yeah. a lot of time in the last, I don't know, maybe month or two talking about how I'm the worst of the three of us girls where I've spent a crazy amount of time on Instagram and I've started to spend less, but there was a period of time there where it just was, I would catch myself opening it after I had literally just closed it like 3 seconds before.
Right.
But I'll have like a thought that will create some sort of anxiety and my brain just opens Instagram to run from whatever
right,
that thought
right.
is. And then I'll catch myself and be like, whoa, okay, hold on. What were you just thinking that triggered you to do that? And then I have to try and like be with that thought. So
right.
I'm not that person that's just running from it. But
I think you're verbalizing what we are all doing.
Yeah.
That's what we're all doing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then you get yeah. real judgmental.
Oh.
I get judgmental on social media.
Yes.
Right. And that makes me feel bad. And then you turn the voice on yourself like, well, you're judging them. Who are you?
Yeah.
Look at your page.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Who are you trying to be? Look at you. You're trying to be somebody too?
Yeah.
yeah.
Instagram actually just disabled my account for no reason. So I'm not really on social media right now. And I'm like, you know, I'm not really missing it. I'm
yeah.
really, I really tried to have a set schedule with checking things and responding. And I try to carve out 2 times a day where I'm allowed to go on and look at it. So a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the afternoon. I'm not perfect about it, but I find having like, hey, you have 15 minutes to do whatever you got to do. Is it going to be a post? Is it going to be responding to people, all this? And then you can do it again in the afternoon and that's it.
That's great. That's really the answer. I was doing that too with Instagram in the morning. I was like, I'm going to do this one time in the morning. Same thing, everything, Facebook. And then what sucked me back was the stories. Because everybody goes, everybody's posting stories now. People don't even look at your posts. They look
right,
at stories.
Right.
And it's like you got upcoming dates and stuff. And
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My mother does this thing where she goes, well, you wouldn't be on it if you weren't, you know, you're doing it for your work. You're doing it for your work. And I go, No, nah, there's narcissism in there.
Oh.
It's not, I would like to sit there and give myself the out, too. It's like, yeah, it's just for work. Otherwise, I wouldn't be on. It's like, nah, there's a huge amount of narcissism in there.
It's a chemical reaction that's happening, and it's lighting up your brain to see these notifications and these hearts and nice comments. It's so addicting.
And older people, I mean... Older people, I mean, I'm hard on millennials, I really am, but older people like to shit on millennials for that, and they don't, but I just was at a casino performing, and they're right at the machines, pulling the slot, even in a wheelchair, oxygen tent, they don't care, they're doing the same thing with a bigger machine.
Different thing.
So it's like, shut up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, oh my God, it's
like
hard.
We're all the same, dude, we're all wired, basically.
Different format, Ruth, you're still doing it, bitch.
Yeah, Mavis.
Mavis.
I think it was Mavis again. Pulling the slots.
What the fuck's going on? But yeah, like the hearts and the notification, all that stuff can make you feel so good, and then one shitty comment can make you feel so bad. It's like you know, what is that phrase? It takes how many atta girls to disprove or discount like one shitty thing or whatever.
Oh, right.
Whatever. It's, you can get all the nice shit in the world, and then a couple assholes chime in, and you're like. What the fuck? My day is ruined. Right. Now I gotta do this and this and this. And like, fuck, you know.
Chaos.
And it's just, it can really affect me. And so I've had to, out of necessity for my own mental health, I have had to like limit and restrict social media.
That's
in
great,
like
though.
Every sense.
But
I don't
for
get...
you making that move is pretty great. And I gotta say, for you having the awareness of that's what's happening and that's why you're back and to stop and to sit with the thought. That's pretty great.
Oh, thanks.
Trying their best.
I mean, that's a lot. People don't even know they're doing that.
Right.
People have no idea that that's what's happening.
Well, now, I mean, now that I say it, if people, you know, you might catch yourself doing it. Right. And it's disturbing. Yeah. I can always tell I'm doing it if I click back on so quickly that top photo hasn't changed. Like, there's not even new posts to come in. And I'm like, oh, my God, that means I was just on here in, like, under 60 seconds. But I didn't. I use it as a big creative block. Like I could absolutely use that time to be writing or whatever. Right. But if you're still getting, you know, little validations, little heart notifications, then it's just like, well, there's more treats.
You start
to
going.
Eat.
Do I even need to write? I mean, things are going pretty good right here. 51 people seem to think that I'm pretty great right now.
Oh my God. So
I have a question for you. We were talking about kind of like, you know, you were in the kind of mindset of just like grinding and grinding and grinding. Is there anything that you have kind of set in place to reward yourself after certain things to try to keep you more present?
Yeah, like I dietarily, like I'm not like a strict, I'm trying to eat right because it makes me feel better, you know, it makes me feel good. But Sunday I like have a cheat day and I'll go in like, I went to a brunch, my girl took me to a brunch. We were on the road, we were in Providence, and then we went for Valentine's Day, we went to a brunch after the weekend on Sunday.
Yes.
And then I came home and ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
And eat most of the pizza myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'll really go
fantastic.
In and pick out. Yeah. And I'll drink too. Like, I'm in LA, like, I want to go out with people I haven't seen in a while and have some drinks. Like, you got to allow yourself.
Right.
Like, unless you have like a problem, you know,
sure,
with alcohol or something. But,
but
I don't. So it's like, let me just enjoy. When it's time to enjoy it, let me just enjoy it and have a good time, really soak it up.
Yeah. Work hard, play hard.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then the next day, get back on it.
You know,
get back on the schedule. Get back on the routine.
Yeah.
And that's what works for you.
Yes.
You
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
Again, that's some people, like, if as soon as they're off the boat, like, go crazy and cannot get back onto that routine. But that's what works for you.
Are you somebody who is able to, like, stop and celebrate your, like, TV spots and stuff like that? Like, if you have, like, a late night set, do you, like, take yourself out to dinner and shit?
Now
okay, that's good.
Now I do.
That's
after the, you've done this tonight show.
Yeah.
Also, like, afterwards, like, I'll go and have a big with everybody I invited.
Yeah.
Everybody will be invited to dinner, and we all go and eat and have drinks and stuff.
Good.
We gotta celebrate.
You
this
have to.
This business is so brutal in so many ways in terms of failure. I mean, you guys know, and I keep getting cut down and getting made to feel not good enough. When you have one of those wins, it's like and for your friends too. When they get something, it's like you gotta go out and celebrate with them.
Totally.
It's like you're great. You had a great win. Fucking let's celebrate you.
Yeah.
I can do that. I love that. Do 100%. That for other people, and other people do it for you. We're all in this together, kind of a thing.
I love that. I think it's so easy to just like get that thing and be like, okay, next morning, what's the next thing? That, oh, I got it. And then you don't even take time to be like, oh my God, this just
so
happened.
Hard for this.
Let's
yeah.
just take
that
this
That used
in.
To be, that's used to be what I did.
Yeah.
Like and but the now next. I'm like, yeah, man, these things are, you got to cherish them.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
The whole thing is a victory.
Before we wrap up, did you have a quote, like one of your favorite quotes?
Or least favorite.
Or least favorite quote.
My favorite one is, I just read it on the way here, and I don't know who said it. It's not mine. I can't say it's definitely not mine. But you shouldn't be pursuing happiness. The pursuit of happiness is not the goal. Happiness is the byproduct of living a meaningful life.
Oh, I like that a lot. Good.
People are chasing it. It's like, what makes you happy? It's like, it's hard to, you know, but if you live a purposeful, meaningful life, you will inherently be happy.
Yeah.
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 Oh, I love that. Oof.
Mic drop.
Yes.
Mic drop.
I should have done that one last. The other one is that I don't really, maybe it, people are using it differently than the way I'm interpreting it, but no. I have to speak my truth. My truth. And I think people say that and it's like, okay, the truth is its own thing. The truth is its own thing. You don't, it's not yours or mine. It is what it is. And sometimes it's unpleasant and there's things, but you have to adjust to the truth. You don't make the, you don't mold the truth to your own situation because then it ceases to become the truth.
Yeah.
It becomes like a delusion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's convenient for you. Versus if it's the truth here and you're like, okay, this is the truth. Like if you have a parent that's like a narcissistic parent and you're like, I have to, it's not pleasant, but I have to cut this person out of my life. Like they're ruining me.
Right.
And it's not pleasant, but it's like, that's the truth. Right. And some people try to go, no, I'm going to incorporate them in. That's my truth. It's like, it's not really your truth. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is you're trying to mold the truth to fit your situation so that you don't feel bad in the moment instead of doing the right thing long term for yourself.
Yeah. Mm. My truth is completely subjective. The truth is completely objective.
Right.
So
right.
it's like when people make it my truth or whatever, then it's different.
The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
Nobody owns it. That's why it's special. You know
it
what
just
I mean?
Exists. Yeah.
Yes. And you have to adjust yourself to the truth.
Yeah.
I like that.
The therapy and all this stuff really helps you see that because you can't see it sometimes. You know what I mean? We're all blind. So it's like it helps you to see it. And then once you see it, then you can make an adjustment to it.
Yeah.
That's what's good about stuff like therapy and like meditation and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For sure.
I think we brought a full circle.
We did. That was,
I think we did a good job.
You were an amazing guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime, Mike. Plug everything. Plug where people can find you.
You have to watch his stuff.
Plugged in your intro that people have to go look up your Tonight Show sets.
I'm at Comic Mike V on all social media platforms, at Comic Mike V. My website is mikevecchione.com. It's Italian long last name, MikeVecchione.com.
Yeah.
And I'll be in Connecticut, Texas, and Illinois. Windsor Locks, Connecticut, February 28th and 29th at Bobby V's. Austin, Texas at the club Cap City, March 4th through the 7th. And Zanies in Chicago, March 11th through the 14th. And then I'll be at Skankfest in Houston, Texas, March 27th through 29th. So those are the dates coming up. So Windsor Locks, Connecticut, Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, and then Houston, Texas. Please come out and see me at Comic Mike V. And I had a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Bobby V's just sounds like your uncle's house.
Backyard party.
Bobby V, if you want to come over for the linguine.
Yeah. Veal.
So good.
Thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, Mike is the best. Thank you again, Mike, for coming on.
So good.
What a treasure and a treat.
Lovely. Lovely man. Such a nice gent.
Do you have some segments?
I think we all have segments. You know what I mean?
Who doesn't have a segment?
I do. Frankly. I do have a segment. Do you have a segment as well?
I do. Why are we talking?
I'll start with mine.
Old
guys,
English.
I got a big defuck. I talked about it on Patreon a little bit already, but my
Go
Instagram
to Patreon for like the deep dive. Yeah, you're going to want it.
My Instagram account at Delaney Fisher was disabled. I don't know why. I just woke up one morning and it was gone. without warning, no reason has been given to me. So that's been quite shitty. If anybody out there runs an online business of any kind and they rely on social media for promotions and connecting with people and stuff, then you can imagine how shitty this can be for business. So that's what I've been dealing with. But the good news is that something new was birthed from it. I've started a blog on DelaneyFisher.com. So if you'd like to sign up for that, you can. And I'll be sharing a lot of the same stuff that I was sharing on Instagram, but just in a safer place that cannot be disabled. So, you know, entrepreneur tips and lifestyle stuff and other fun shit and self-care. Just, you know, fuck you, Instagram.
You've got to stop saying fuck you, Instagram. I can't have this negative impact me. I'm going to take this whole shit down, man.
I'm going to take you down, Instagram. No, and I'm going to take you down with my blog, baby.
She's not. Don't listen to her, Instagram. There are robots. Robots listen all the time. We're going to have to edit this out, I swear.
Oh, you guys. And by this time, I really don't know. By this time, I could have my real account back. I doubt it. Let's be real. I really doubt it. So I have made a new account. It's at Delaney.Fisher. If you want to follow, you know, change it up a little bit, guys, because they won't give me my real username back. So, yeah, if you want to follow it, I will still be using it. It will just be a little bit differently the way I use Instagram. The meat, if you will, is going to be hosted on my website, DelaneyFisher.com.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool.
So that's my defuck. That's my fuck you segment.
Yeah.
God.
Stomachs and knots. I have a good shit. I know I've touched on this in the past when it was the LA premiere, but I just wanted to say officially that the Foosballers documentary that I am in is out on iTunes now.
Yay.
You can order it on iTunes and watch it. It is so good. I got to go up to Seattle with my mom, who is in the Foosball Hall of Fame.
Oh, so cute.
Just the best.
The greatest.
And she's kind of, my mom is kind of known as like the historian of the sport, which is just such a crazy, weird thing. But my mom's been playing foosball for 47 years.
Oh my gosh.
She started playing when she was 20 years old, and she really invested her life into it. And in the Foosballers documentary, they kind of they break away from the main narrative of following like six of the pro master foosball players on their journey to the world championships and kind of give you like, OK, for all of you who don't know, here's the history of like how foosball got to be where it is. And it's pretty wild to see that at one point, I think foosball was like the sixth largest sport in America, like had like the most, like sixth most money invested in it. Like people, you would go to these tournaments and like first place would be a fucking Jaguar, like a brand new,
really?
Like a Porsche.
Holy shit.
Like you could, it was like $1 million tour and tournaments that were giving out so much money. So people, you know, when we say pro foosball player, people were making a living completely on foosball. And now there's only, I think, two players in the world that can make a living at it, because they're just, there isn't the same amount of money. And I mean, I could get real nerdy about it, obviously, but it made me so happy to get to watch it in the theaters with my mom. It was part of the Seattle International Film Festival where they screened it in a theater. It just like, it's just cool. My mom, it's been her whole life. And she and I did a Q&A together afterward at like the front of the theater, like down by the screen.
And so cool.
One of the players stood up at the end and was like, I just want to take a second and just really give a shout out to, you know, my mom, because without her, like the sport wouldn't be where it is. And she really carried so many things when things were tough. And it was like a special moment. Oh. And I love my mom so much. And I love foosball so much. And the Foosballers documentary is, I mean, I know I'm a little biased, but it is so good. It's done so well. It's won all of these amazing awards.
Cam and I are definitely going to watch it.
Oh, Cam will get
he'll be
fired
into it.
Up.
Oh, he'll be into it for sure.
It's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
It's just great. And I'm really hoping that it goes on Netflix at some point. I think a lot of documentaries like start on iTunes and then get picked up. But yeah, just check it out. You can see the trailer on my Instagram. It's at Kelsey Cook Comedy. There's like a little IGTV trailer of it where you can see me doing a Cindy Head impression and looking like a maniac. Cindy Head is like the top. She's the most winningest player in the sport.
Oh, wow.
Like male or female. She has a cool. bazillion titles. So, oh my God, I just got.
Oh, what a nerd. Okay.
I know, I'm sorry. I worked myself out of breath with that. But you guys should watch it.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yay.
It will be my first movie that I watch after this fucking project that I've been working on.
Oh, thank you for watching.
Hell yeah.
So with that, we're gonna wrap up this episode. But please be sure to I'm sorry, we have an iTunes review of the episode.
Oh yes.
Let me read this real quick.
Can't forget that.
Damn. Okay, this is from I Have Swag. A good friend recommended this podcast to me when we were talking about our anxieties. Since then, I've been binging as many episodes as I can in a work day. Oh, thank you so much. thank you for taking the time, I Have Swag, to leave us an iTunes review. As always, if you haven't yet, takes 1 second. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a sweet review. And then it's a chance to be read on the show.
Oh, and you guys, another announcement. I know we're just full of them, right? We are doing a live Q&A live stream on Patreon, on our patreon.com/selfhelpless on Monday, March 16th at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this is a reward because we reached 500 patrons and we told you guys that we'd be giving you an exclusive, like, 1 hour, basically, Q&A vodcast, really. Because you guys would be able to answer, you know, ask the questions, and we'll just be talking right to you. Is it a vodcast?
No, that means, like, we use vodka or something.
Video podcast. Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, just probably.
All right, maybe I'm making up words.
No, I like it.
But, yeah, so mark your calendars for that. Our patrons, and if you want to join Patreon to view that, you absolutely can. You have a little time. March 16th.
Yeah. Mark your calendars, and we love you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content, ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at KelseyCook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at KelseyCookComedy. Twitter is at KelseyCook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.